Luke's Gospel in chapter 17, verse 5 and following, the apostle said to the Lord, "Increase our faith." The Lord replied, "If you have faith the size of a mustard seed, you can say to this mulberry tree, 'Be uprooted and planted in the sea,' and it would obey you. Who among you would say to your slave who has just come in from plowing or tending sheep in the field, 'Come here at once and take your place at the table'? Would you not rather say to him, 'Prepare supper for me, put on your apron and serve me while I eat and drink. Later you may eat and drink.' Do you thank the slave for doing what he was commanded? So you also, when you have done all that you were ordered to do, 'We are worthless slaves. We have done only what we ought to have done.'" Friends, this is the word of the Lord. We have sang about and heard reading about today the word faith. And sometimes it helps me to pause and just give thought once again. What does it mean, that word faith? What best describes it? Recently, I preached the funeral service for my Aunt Lula, and Lula was kind of a quiet, reserved person, and oftentimes when a person has that personality, we don't know much about their life, their secrets, wisdoms that they often possess that we sometimes easily overlook. And Lula was a deep woman of faith, and she had a Bible that had been a part of her family for more than 30 years. And in that Bible, she had notes, scriptures underlined, statements of faith proclaiming what God meant to her and what her faith meant to her and her family. One little nugget that I was grateful to read in her Bible that her family shared with me was the word faith. And with that word faith, she had written down an acronym. You all know that I love me some acronyms, so I'm going to share with you the one that Lula had in her Bible for faith. It was this: forsaking all, I trust him. Faith. Pretty good description, I would say. And you know, I don't know about you all, but trust is a central part of that statement. It's who are we going to put our trust in? And so often in life, it's those that we trust the most. When they let us down, there is the most pain. This past week, we celebrated a successful surgery for little Bailey Steverson. And as Bailey was recovering up in Le Bonheur, we were there, the family, and I was able to be there as their pastor. And, you know, you find out some intimate things about your church members when you spend extra time with them. I found out little Bailey, in his all but 1 year old, he's developed quite a temper. And he will let you know if things aren't going his way. Sounds like his daddy and another guy named Jody that you all know. We like to have our way, don't we? And his mama, Lauren, was real anxious. She was afraid that Jody was going to be rather upset and, quite frankly, angry with her because he had to do surgery. She said he woke up in such a good mood that day, he thought he was going to Disney World. He had no idea that a surgery and pain and recovery awaited. How do you explain something to a one-year-old? But in coming out of the recovery, when he was in that room, he was still quite sedated, and he would open just one eye. Many of us have experienced that with a family member or ourselves. Still heavily sedated, he would open that one eye and glance over at his mother, and his blood pressure would just skyrocket to the max. She said, "I think he's mad at me." He had trusted her. And in the mind of that young child, in a way he couldn't express, she had let him down. He didn't know that she was doing what was best for him. So often we as children, even children of God, feel that same way. We want things our way when we want them. And if we're honest, Sometimes we, even in the innocence of our faith, we may get a little angry. Even angry at the one who made us and the one that we trusted to deliver us. Wow. It's at times like that that we embrace these words, most of all, where Jesus teaches on faith to trust in the Lord. You know, I find intriguing in this passage that Luke records that the ending of it, I suspect that there's some more stuff going on here that Luke's not telling us about. You know, I think there's a bit more to this dialogue that happened that day than Luke records. Because if you hear, as Jesus ends this passage, he begins to say to his apostles, the disciples, he tells them this parable. Well, you know, you need to really remember what your role is. And your role is to be servants of God. It's as if I can imagine they were grumbling a bit to Jesus. They may have taken on the nature of little Bailey Stevenson and of yours truly. When I don't get my way or we don't get our way, I suspect the disciples and apostles were saying to Jesus, I don't get it. This is impossible what you're calling us to do. It's impractical. Because just before this, he tells his disciples, he says, you know, if someone offends you, you want to rebuke them, but rebuke them gently. And then, get this, if they ask you to forgive them, do it as many as 77 times. Wow. The apostles cry out, increase our faith with an exclamation point, our scripture tells us. It seems that Jesus may have seen into their motives some bit of grumbling or expectations that were too high. I don't know about y'all, but that's where I get myself in trouble. It's when I think that I deserve something from God or I'm entitled to certain and specific treatment from the one who made us. You know, there's a great educator and psychiatrist named Dr. Chris Thurman. And he'd written a book, The Lies We Believe. And in that book, Thurman says one of the great hindrances to healthy relationships with a husband and wife or parent and child or teacher and student is that idea of entitlement. Thinking and expecting that we're owed something from this world or those around us. He said, you know, even in the husband-wife relationship, we should not approach that with an entitlement, an expectation that we must get what we want. Sure, we want to be treated a certain way. And we hope that our spouse or our parents or our children will treat us a certain way. But to view that hope as entitlement is a completely different transaction. Because when we approach relationships as though we're entitled, that we're owed it, that we deserve it, then we're setting ourselves up for emotional failure, friends. Hear what I'm saying. Hear this now. If I expect my wife to treat me a certain way, and I'm owed that, then when she does that, then I'm not going to be pleased. She only did what I expected her to. She only gave me what I deserved. But when she lets me down, oh, it's the end of the world. I was owed that. I deserved that. The best we can achieve when we have an attitude of entitlement is to just be satisfied. To just not be let down when things go our way. Oh, but when we are let down, we're devastated. No, we should approach relationships with a hope and an anticipation that we get what we yearn for, but never expect that we're owed or deserve, because then there'll never be happiness. Maybe that was some of the motives of the apostles this morning. When they said to Jesus with that exclamation point, increase our faith, because we don't deserve what you're calling us to do. We can't forgive like that. Who are we? We're just fishermen. And you're calling us to share the gospel and serve these people who don't even want to be served. But it's at this that Jesus reminds them that is their nature. It's not to be served as people of God, but to serve the world around us to His glory. So often we get that mixed up. Our role as people of the faith, it's to serve the world around us. It's to be the hands and feet of Jesus, as we sang about in song this morning. He calls us to be the body even now, as Christ has ascended to heaven. We are the church. And it seems the essence of Him preaching this message to His apostles this morning, the only way we can do that is to trust in Him. To trust in Him and remember what our role is. You know, we were having Bible study this week, and Miss Ann Wigington gave me a great little nugget for my book. Y'all remember I'm writing a book called The Gospel According to Fido. I haven't begun writing. It may be 30 years before it comes out, but it's coming one of these days. Y'all don't steal my title. The Gospel According to Fido. Because we can learn so much from our pets, especially our dogs. Miss Ann shared a story. She said, you know, I heard once where if you lock your wife and your dog in your trunk, which one do you think is going to be happy when you open it? Not your wife. The dog's going to be happy to see you. And why is the dog still going to be happy to see you? You know why? Because I think Fido has figured this out, friends. He has never forgotten this. This is important. Who's the master and who's the servant? You see, it's simple. They understand that you are the master. And even if you did lock them in the trunk, they trusted you and you must have had a good reason for doing it. You see the trust? You see the loyalty? We talk about dogs being loyal, man's best friend. It's because they have that innate trust for you as their master. Wow. Imagine if we embraced a bit of that trust, that faith for our master. To trust in Him no matter what. No matter when we don't get our way. When things aren't as we would hope they would be. If we can embrace that nature to remember our role as the church, as children of God, is not to be served, but to serve. See, I think that may be the essence of what Jesus was saying in this passage when He tells the story of faith the size of a mustard seed. Truly, it is a reminder to us, it's not, friends of the faith, how big our faith is, but how big is the God that we have faith in? How big is the One that we trust? Not so we may do great things, but that God may do great things in us and through us, for His world and His glory. Now that's trust. It's the power to transform from the impossible, uprooting a tree, and the impractical, planting the tree in the ocean. You see, Jesus is saying, with faith, you can do that by trusting Me to do what you cannot. The impossible and the impractical. You know, I think that's what helps a mustard seed, the tiniest of all seeds, transform into a great tree, is that it trusts. It trusts its substance. It trusts that when you put it into the soil, that is the place where it can be transformed and grow into glory. Now in that time, in that ground, there must be times when that mustard seed thinks, boy, it sure is hot. That sun sure is shining. Or maybe there's other times when it's getting pounded with that water and it says, hey boy, it sure is wet. Wish it would dry up a little bit. But in it all, it's the mustard seed's ability to trust where it is that it grows and is transformed into greatness. So may we, dear friends, children of God, pray that we will have the faith to do this, forsake all, I trust Him, that He may be glorified now and forever. Amen.